That just sounds dirty.
It's Friday, July 12th, 2019. It's time for your weekly Nerdgasm Overload. Dissecting the husk of the video game industry, this is the Noob Shelter Podcast, Episode 6. Coming to you live. Yeah, we had the running of the T-Rex and broadcasting live from deep underneath the city of Tacoma, Washington, in the Noob Shelter Bunker. I am Matt Fugitive.
From the depths of his not-so-secret or subterranean lair on the outskirts of Federalis Way, the link-dropping Chastmaster himself, it's Freebird.
And sitting atop my ivy throne from my skyscraper in Puyallup, south of everyone else on the show, it's Fade to Black.
Yay!
Awesome.
So how's it going tonight, everybody? Welcome back. Episode 6, rocking live from the Noob Shelter Bunker, deep underneath the city of Tacoma. So, did you gentlemen, understand what I said about the running of the T-Rex?
I did. It was a link that I shared to my sister's Facebook page.
John, do you apparently know what I was talking about?
Yep.
So, for those of you who don't know, this was great, and I didn't even know this happened, and I'm ashamed that it happened. So, up in Auburn, Washington, about 20 minutes from us here, there was, over at Emerald Downs, which is a horse track, there was the running of the T-Rex. It was so awesome. There's a bunch of people wearing T-Rex costumes running out of the gate in horse poo-filled mud. I think the distance was about a quarter of a mile that they ran.
I believe so.
But it was still pretty awesome. Let me go ahead and kill the music here. Yeah. So, anyways, John's back.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. The birdie free.
I was looking for nest materials out in the woods.
Something. You're looking for something to nest.
Mourning the passing of my self-destructing vehicle.
Oh, God, that was horrible. So what's...
So,
John, yeah, I'm going to ask you what's going on. Tell us about the Sentra debacle.
Oh, man. So just out of the blue, I did a whole round-trip drive to go pick up parts and then... South Park to Port Orchard and back. And then everything's running fine. I get 5 minutes from home. The thing just sputters and dies. It starts throwing I got home from there, but then it starts throwing a funky timing error. I get it into the shop. He tells me it's going to cost basically more than we paid for the car to repair it. So we went ahead and he said I could probably drive it a couple miles. Well, I got it about 1.4 of the 1.6 miles I needed to go to get to my dad's place to park it.
Oh.
And I snapped one of the piston rods and it blew through the front end of the aluminum block.
That's what I saw. It looked like a piston shaped hole.
Yeah. The whole piston didn't, but the yoke up where it connects, it snapped at that point.
Ew.
So the whole thing, and then as the camshaft spun it around, it punched right through and the entire engine seized. The thing's dead.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry to hear that. That's horrible.
Yeah, apparently Nissans are notorious for issues like that, randomly springing up without warning.
See, I always thought Nissan were good cars, though. I never heard really of a bad thing about Nissan. That's the... When I heard that it was a Sentra that shot through, I was like... Oh, Well, that turns me off on Nissans now forever.
Yeah, and a lot of like guys that work on cars don't like Nissans, and especially on the timing side of things, because they're all interference engines. So if the timing goes, your entire engine basically has to be overhauled.
Oh, dear. Yep. No.
That's horrible. Fun stuff.
I'm sorry. So what's this? What's this? You're going to go and be a VIP at some hot sauce thing in Portland. Tell us about that.
Yeah, next month, the 17th and 18th of August, I'm going to be down in Portland for the 4th annual PDX Hot Sauce Expo.
So any of you guys out there that listen to the Noob Shelter that are going to be at the PDX Hot Sauce Expo, look for Rythone. He's going to be around.
I'll be putzing about. We should hopefully be able to get the shirt made. It's going to be a Noob Shelter Heat Patrol or something like
that's
that.
That's going to be awesome.
That'd be cool. I have the logo and all that.
That'd be awesome. I'm looking for it. You got to send me pictures. If you get the shirt made and you go, you got to send me pictures of you holding a metric ton of hot sauce with that, wearing that shirt, dude. I got to see it. I'll put it up on the blog for VIP. I'll put it up on Noob Shelter blog. So, and on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Noob Shelter. All right. Woo-hoo. Anyways. So, Fade to Black, Mr. Mike, what's going on?
Hell, not too much. Just trying to get everything in order.
You're always trying to get everything in order.
Well, that's because we have a lot of shit to get in order. No, my sister-in-law came into town. I have my birthday coming up, and then I'm going to be going to a wedding with my wife.
Cool. So, where's the wedding at?
Wedding's going to be down in Centralia, and the freaking damnedest thing is the wedding is for a friend of my sister-in-law's, a very dear friend of them, who she grew up with in Port Orchard.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy she's marrying was the apartment manager of the first place me and Tiana moved into.
Wow. Well, that's
right.
Cool.
Yeah, talk about a small freaking world.
Talk about a small freaking world. I mean, you know, for some reason, Spokane, Washington, of all places, is the smallest freaking planet of the world. I have run into so many people I haven't seen in years when I lived in Spokane. And I lived in New York for a good chunk of my life, but I lived in Spokane for, well, the outskirts of Spokane for, I want to say, about maybe 8-9 months. And I met a few people, you know, and then I'm gone for a couple years and I come back. And then all these people just start showing up like, oh, my God, like, oh, you know this person. Oh, my God. It's kind of the same thing out here, too. It's not as frequent where, like, everybody I meet knows somebody that I know or, like, dated somebody that I dated. That was an interesting one. But yeah, it's like one of the girls I dated, many moons ago, apparently knew my ex-wife's stepsister.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. It's like, that's kind of interesting. It didn't affect anything. You know, we still hung out for quite a while, you know, before we split, but yeah, it was weird. It's like, okay, don't report anything back. Hopefully not. So, yeah, my week has been a little bit of dev, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Nothing really to report. I went for a walk today because my kids are, like, back in the Pokemon Go phase. So when John messaged me earlier about doing the notes, I was, like, 3 blocks away from the house sweating. I don't walk as much as I used to. I got to get back in shape. I really need to.
But that's good for you, though, man.
It is. So I want to get back into shape. So I went for a walk. I got home. I was all sweaty. I tore my pants off. I got my shorts on. I got to get a pair of good shorts because I wear jeans during the summer because I don't own a pair of shorts. I own, like, workout shorts or basketball shorts, you know? Mm-hmm. So. But, yeah, I was sweating so much. I was sitting downstairs with a back scratcher itching my legs for, like, 10, 15 minutes. Before the show, I was like, come on, stop itching. It's like, why am I so sweaty and itchy? This isn't cool. Anyways, let's go ahead and get started. Top 5. Here we go. So this is what we're doing every beginning of every show. We're going to do the top five gaming stories since we cover more than just video games. We figured we'd get the big stuff out of the way and then go from there. So let's get this over with.
Number five.
So the first on our list, Epic. We all know about Shenmue 3. If you know what Shenmue is, then hey. Shenmue was a game that was on Dreamcast. Very story-driven, very beautiful game. They had a sequel, Shenmue 2. Everyone's been wanting a Shenmue 3 for a while. Well, we're getting it. It's coming out. And they had a Kickstarter to get it going. Now, the Kickstarter was saying, oh, it's going to be available for PC, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Well, that was before the whole Epic versus Steam debacle.
Yeah.
Epic got their hand convinced WiseNet, the developer of Shenmue, to make it an Epic exclusive. That pissed off a lot of people, and a lot of people were demanding their refunds back on Kickstarter. Well, Epic is playing Mr. Good Guy in this scenario. They're going to pay for the refunds for any Kickstarter person who put in for Shenmue 3. Epic's going to pay the refunds to that due to the exclusivity deal. I think that's kind of good. I mean, I think it's kind of a dick move that WiseNet like decided that they were going to make Shenmue 3 an Epic exclusive, especially since their launcher is garbage to begin with.
Especially with Kickstarter or crowdfunded games in general.
You can't do that. Exactly. Thank you, John. You cannot do that. That is douchebaggery in its finest. Yeah.
Douchebag!
But I can't really say that they're douchebags. Oh, I can say WiseNet is. But Good Guy Epic is going to come out and save the day. So Epic Games CEO Tim Sweeney confirmed that the company is going to take responsibility to avoid impacting Shenmue 3 development budget. So I guess Shenmue 3 is still in development, and instead of giving that Kickstarter money back, Epic's going to cover it and Epic's going to cover the refunds. Sweeney, the CEO, Tim Sweeney, he took to Twitter to deliver the following statement. Let's see here. Epic is funding the cost of all Kickstarter refunds resulting from Shenmue 3's move to the Epic Games Store. In a following tweet, he said, "We'll either coordinate with colleagues at other stores to ensure key availability in advance or guarantee refunds at announcement time." It's worth noting that Sweeney, of course, is talking specifically about crowdfunded projects here. So I think Epic's planning on doing that with a couple more crowdfunding projects. Yeah. So far, the list of games to become Epic exclusives, other than Shenmue 3, looks like Cyberpunk 2077, Chivalry 2, The Sojourn, Untitled Goose Game, and a couple more. Outer Wilds, of course, we already know that. Borderlands 3, yada yada.
Cyberpunk shouldn't be.
It says here Cyberpunk is going to be an Epic Store exclusivity. I'm going to look into that.
It's not, because actually I wanted to tie into that a little bit.
Go ahead.
Because One third of all PC pre-orders of Cyberpunk 2077 have been on GOG. And GOG is giving CD Projekt Red 100%.
Ooh.
They're not taking any cuts whatsoever of that money.
You know what? Between Steam and Epic and EA and all the other launchers out there, GOG is the man.
Yeah.
GOG is the man.
Right now you have the chance that you can get it refunded on your other platforms. If you wanted to give all of your money to CG Projekt Red, you could go that and pre-order it on GOG instead.
If I ever get any money, I'll pre-order it on GOG. Totally.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's something you really can't argue. That is the good guy right here in the gaming.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know what? Kudos
Epic's
for
trying to
Epic.
Save face.
Yeah, kudos for Epic, but Yeah, there's still a bunch of bozos.
This is so they can have a little bit of puff that they, the game, you know, IGN, et cetera, someone that they can go and go, look, Epic's not all bad.
Well, they're not no EA. They're not no EA, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Mike, did you have anything to add?
Well, I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they can play this whole good guy thing all they want, but in reality, they're just freaking money grubbing bastards because they wanted Shenmue 3 as an exclusive for their freaking launcher.
Money grubbing.
Who gives a shit if they're freaking
money? You got this wrong, Mike. Money grubbing bastards trying to take out Valve. Get it right.
Regardless,
it's also a timed exclusive. So, if you took it through Epic afterwards, I think it's a year. They are giving the Steam keys to anyone who has it through Epic as well that pre-ordered it with a Steam key. That's what they had previously said, or I want to say earlier this week or so.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move on to number four.
Number four.
So, Pokemon Sword and Shield, we've talked about it a bit here. We've talked about how they're not going to have every Pokemon in the Pokédex in Sword and Shield, which is, you know, pretty lame. But moving on beyond that, we also found out that Sword and Shield are going to have exclusive gems. So there was a trailer for Pokemon Sword and Shield that came out. I didn't get a chance to look at it. I mean, I caught bits and pieces of it. It gave a look at some of the new features that's going to be coming up in the new Pokemon game. Just as previous titles, Sword and Shield will feature a handful of exclusive Pokemon, of course, that can only be found in version A or version B. You know, red and blue, gold and silver. We've been through this before. But that isn't the only difference between the two games. The big one is each game is going to have some exclusive gems only for that version.
Douchebag!
As was learned in the trailer, some cities in Pokemon Sword and Shield will feature different gems depending on which version you're playing. It's unclear really how many version exclusive gems there's going to be in total. But from what I've heard, the latest trailer showcased at least one of them. What the hell are these guys thinking? Now you're going to have to like buy both Sword and Shield to like get the full experience? I mean,
man,
what are they doing? This is going to be bad. I guess this isn't the first time though that the Pokemon games have featured a version exclusive gym or haven't. This isn't the first time that the games have featured a version exclusive gym leaders. The leader of the final gym in Black and White would differ depending on which version you were playing, of course. Well, that's kind of the same with if you played Fire Red or Sapphire Blue, whatever the two games, you know, or Leaf Green. They had, after you beat the Elite Four, there was a special fight that you could go. You could go fight Red or you could go fight Blue or whatever, depending on what version you were in.
Yeah.
That I get, but the gym thing, work with me here, people. I've been out of the Pokemon loop for a while. I've been playing Let's Go Pikachu a bit because it's just a rehash of Red and Blue. So, man, I don't get that. That's just, that's bad. That's bad pull right there, man. That's just some bad pull. So, anybody got any other comments on that or?
No, that one seems like just a way to make more money. What the heck?
Exactly. Number three. So, Bethesda. We love talking about Bethesda. They want to make Fallout 76 easier for new players. Now, okay. John, you've been playing. Who's been playing 76? Mike, has it been you?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me go through this real quick, and then I want you to give your opinion, because I was under the impression of one thing, but let me go through this and say what they're doing, and then I'll tell you what I thought, and then you can counter whatever. So,
okay,
apparently Fallout 76's world can be brutal, especially for players just starting out. You got to deal with the hunger, the thirst, the disease, the radiation, the yada yada. There's no shortage of crap in Appalachia. In the game's next big update, however, Bethesda is going to dial down the danger, at least early on, for new players. So, quoting one of the Bethesda guys, we're looking to make a few adjustments to help new and low-level characters have more gradual introductions to some of the game's mechanics and challenges. They said that last week in a blog post because of major changes coming up in patch 11. So, reducing one of the things they're going to do is they're going to reduce the cost of fast travel for players under level 25, players under level 15, higher disease resistance. They're going to make food take 20% longer to spoil, or 50% longer to spoil, and no longer wiping out stat bonuses from food and drink after fast traveling. Making encounters with higher level enemies outside the forest, the game's starting area, more rare. And they also plan to make a reward system from Fallout 76's checklist-driven challenges completed earlier in the game more useful for low-level players. So right now, there's a lot of these activities, granting ammunition for guns players don't have, or crafting materials, or so on and so forth. New players might end up racking up high-level ammo. New players racking up high-level ammo while they're hurting for first aid. So my understanding... Okay, all right. So now that I reread the article, because I've read this before, I don't think I really have any questions on it. My understanding was if... I was thinking of it more towards PvP, but that doesn't seem to be a problem here, because my understanding with PvP is if you kill another player without them agreeing to PvP, you get a wanted level, and anyone that kills you is rewarded because you're a douchebag. This makes more sense now that I'm rereading it. John, or not John, Mike, have you experienced any of these issues starting out?
Well... starting out before this update actually was really freaking easy. So some of these actually don't make too much sense, because when I first started through the game and you know, made my first few levels, you know, granted, I'm still low level, fairly low level compared to a lot of other players in there.
Right.
I can understand some of those, like making certain items more available to lower and lower level characters,
right,
first starting out, because there were a few times that it was a bit sketchy for me. but for the most part, you know, just sticking to it and, you know, just pushing through quests actually gets a good portion of what you need to survive.
Right.
You know, as long as you keep at it. And I actually have, you know, they give you disease cures. So there's no, I've only had two risks of disease, and it's usually from contaminated food. But I had an abundance of disease cures, so I took that and was fine.
Okay.
So the main issue is...
So which of these that I mentioned do you think is going to be beneficial, like, for starting? Like I said, we talked about food taking longer to spoil, no stat bonus wipeout from food drink after fast traveling half cost, or reducing the cost of fast travel under level 25.
Well, that right there actually will make a difference, because, I mean, caps are actually... quite a bit more rare than I was expecting early on.
Right.
So cutting the and honestly, cost for fast travel kind of pisses me off, because it's like, I mean, you're not paying someone to carry you.
Right.
You're just fast forwarding the game, basically. That's always how I looked at it. Is,
but if you're in game, you're defying the law of physics by traveling fast.
It's a freaking game. Who gives a crap? It's fiction. That's the whole point.
You're defying laws of physics. I just got done watching a black hole documentary. You cannot defy the laws of physics like black holes can. No.
Video game characters can.
Okay. Well, apparently video game characters
regardless.
Can, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, it's... I didn't quite understand why they were, you know, they started charging to fast travel. Now, keep in mind, if you've set up your camp, regardless of where you are on the map, you are able to fast travel to your camp for free. You don't have to spend any caps to fast travel to your camp. And you could be on the other side of the map completely, and you're still able to fast travel to your camp for free.
Okay.
So I think early on, the camp is actually a huge benefit if you're able to set it up somewhere safe.
Nice.
And, you know, you can just fast travel to it to get out of the way, you know. But if there's some areas you need to get to, cutting back the cost for fast traveling to, like, an area that you don't want to spend the better part of an hour just trying to run to.
Right.
Or walk to, for the most part.
So, you know,
some are actually pretty good, though.
John, I'm pretty sure you're still against Fallout 76.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to buy it.
And by the way, John, I actually went through a couple of tests, and it was a glitch, and they fixed the glitch.
Oh, well, good.
He's still not going to buy it.
Still left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yay! I understand that, but come on now. That's not helpful.
Okay, moving on to number two.
Number two.
So, Amazon. Amazon, 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 Amazon. How we love to talk about you. Not really. So, as you guys probably know, Amazon Prime Video, Amazon, they're making a TV series of Lord of the Rings. I am pretty sure this is going to be a prequel. I'm not sure if it's going to be a prequel, if it's going to be a rehash of Lord of the Rings, but in a TV series. Anyways, to coincide with their Lord of the Rings TV series, they've announced a new free-to-play MMO. No one? Really? This is Lord of the Rings we're talking about here. Come on, guys! Get with it!
Yay!
But it's...
it's
no.
Amazon.
It's
we need
MMO.
To start recording that. So MMO we can just start playing in the background when she's not able to be around.
And freemium.
A new Lord of the Rings.
I can only assume.
So a new Lord of the Rings MMO is in the works over there at Amazon Game Studios and Leyu Technologies. Leyu. It's probably Liu. I'm not sure. I'm just saying Leu. Leu.
I don't think it's going to be a freemium. Have you looked at the who's actually going to be working on it and what their?
I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it. Amazon Game Studios are teaming team working with Leu and Athlon Games. Includes veteran developers who have worked on EverQuest, Destiny, PlanetSide, World of Warcraft, Defiance, Rift, and other MMOs. This is the same game studios team currently working on the Amazon Prime MMO New World, set in an alternate 17th century world. That sounds interesting.
That does sound interesting. If it's the developers I'm thinking, there's no freaking way this game is going to be a freemium. Because especially if they're particular developers from PlanetSide or Destiny, because they abhor that type of free MMO.
Right, but so, it could just be a really good MMO that's free, and there's no catch. Play for free. I mean, this is Amazon we're talking about here. These guys have pockets deeper than the Grand Canyon. They have pockets deeper than the supermassive black hole in the center of our galaxy. Okay? Jeff Bezos is made of money. I just, like I said, I watched a whole PBS thing on black holes.
So you feel smart and have to incorporate it into the show?
Yes! Thank you! You're damn straight I will incorporate my newly found education of celestial bodies out there in the known universe into our podcast. Of course I will. Why not share the love? Anyways, apparently, reading further, they haven't given a release date. It's not related to the original TV series that they're doing, which is set to debut in 2021. There's no other information beyond what I just said. So, there we go. Now, Amazon, making a game. I don't know how I feel about that. I think a couple years ago, I used to do a blog called Fugitive Inc. And I have to see if I can pull up the archives of that. Because I'm pretty sure a couple years ago, I predicted sometime, by the end of the next decade, Amazon was going to jump in on the game industry front. So I'll have to look for that. If I find it, I'll post it up on the Facebook blog. So,
okay.
Yeah. And last but not least, numero uno.
Number one.
So, Nintendo Switch Lite. Riphone, what you got for me?
It's a true handheld. It's,
really?
Yeah. It is a solid construction. Where's my... Okay, here we go. I got the links. This one is...
Yeah,
just
I gave you your own
breakdown.
Set of links there,
oh, yeah.
Buddy.
There are so many links here. I had to go through and just kind of choose two. Here's the Switch Lite versus Switch comparison link and the FAQ to go alongside it. Biggest thing is it is solid. The Joy-Cons don't disconnect. It's not designed to be multiplayer on
well,
this
Well, I
one.
Think I remember hearing that the last time that we were talking about that when we were talking about the rumor of the Pro Switch and the Lite Switch that the mm-hmm. or the Mini Switch that the Mini Switch would not have detachable Joy-Cons.
Yeah. No kickstand. The screen is a few hairs smaller.
Oh, sorry. I was switching tabs, and for some reason, I accidentally hit the wrong button. Continue, John. Wait! Oh,
good job. Technical.
I haven't really had to hit that button that much.
No, it's been nice. We've been smooth, and now we're jinxed.
you had to hit it a couple times. You just didn't have it available to you last week.
You little fuckers.
Anyways, go on, John.
It's about $100 less than the regular Switch, coming in about $200.
Okay, so about what it would cost for a 3DS.
Yeah, they're not. They're basically kind of people are just calling this the DS killer.
Hmm. Where'd you drop the links?
They are under. He put the links in chat. But and there is on the dock, if you expand. Top five gaming news stories and expand number one and then expand all the other articles that I threw in there. There's links to articles in each and every one
FAQ
of those categories.
Is third from the bottom and the comparison is the bottom link.
Oh crap. No, my connection to the IRC chat just reset.
Oh yeah, no, I was about to say reset. Something. I noticed that you jumped out.
You jumped out like 20 minutes ago.
He took the dive. Man it's overboard!
Why didn't you guys say something?
Because it's just us in chat right
now. Just blame the president!
I'm dropping links for link's sake.
I understand that, but, I mean, you guys still could have mentioned, hey, why'd you drop out?
Technical malfunction.
Technical malfunction!
Can we move on now?
I don't know, bastards. Can we?
You vicious, heartless bastards!
John, continue!
One of the big things, and what I'm noticing that I like the most, is it's got a traditional D-pad on the left.
I saw that.
Instead of the little round buttons. And it's got a 20 to 30% increased battery life. They did take out the IR sensor and the rumble feature, though.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Well, who cares?
For a handheld, that could be a freaking battery killer.
Yeah. And who still uses an IR sensor these days? I mean, well, obviously the Switch does, but, you know, I think that, I don't, anyways, that's a story for another day. Continue, John.
And the Switch Lite comes in three colors, yellow, turquoise, and gray.
One of the other things I noticed about the Switch Lite that I like is it will have Amiibo support.
Yes.
So, for me, the guy who has a whole box of Amiibo sitting in storage right now. November. He's never going to open them or use them. At least it's good to know that I have Amiibo support.
There's a special edition.
You don't know what Amiibo support is?
No.
Amiibo.
Okay. This is the Amiibo thing was a huge thing back when we first did the Noob Shelter many moons ago.
I'm aware of that.
So what an Amiibo is, it's a little figurine. It could be a Mario figurine or a Zelda figurine or a Link figurine or a Bowser figurine. And it has a little metallic disc on the inside of it. Think of the little discs they put inside of packages of diapers when you're walking out of the store. If they don't deactivate that disc or demagnetize it, it sets off the alarm.
Gotcha.
Similar difference. It has a little bit of a circuit in there underneath. And you can use said figurine with certain games. With Mario Maker, back on the Wii U, because I haven't really used it yet on any Nintendo games that I have here for the Switch. But back on the Wii U, for example, using Amiibos in Mario Kart would unlock, depending on the Amiibo, would unlock, could possibly unlock certain costumes that your Mii characters could wear. For Smash Brothers, for the Wii U, you can save. You can use your Amiibos to as robots, as trained robots, to fight other Amiibos.
Yeah.
And save the fighting data. It was kind of like an underground robot AI type fight club thing. It didn't really take off too much.
Not supposed to talk about that.
But hey, I will talk about Amiibo Fight Club because it didn't take off.
So,
it was cool to see them when they were coming out. They're still coming out. The Smash Brothers ones were mostly amazing because you would get pretty cool art-looking figurines of Mario, Luigi, yada, yada, yada. But you would also get figurines of non-Nintendo IPs being produced by Nintendo, like Pac-Man or Ryu. Like, I have a Ryu amiibo sitting behind me. I have a Boo amiibo that glows in the dark sitting behind me right now on my bookshelf. But yeah, I mean, that was the thing. It was more of a collectibles thing. It became more of a collectibles thing, and I got addicted. The bug bit me, and I spent probably a couple hundred dollars on Amiibos.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's so much. It's so freaking cool. They're so cool looking. If that does not go up in value, man, if those don't go up in value, then I've lost all faith in humanity.
Check out that link I dropped in chat. We don't have this one in the doc, but... you guys can search.
Yeah, I remember that. Nintendo Switch Lite.
But it's the Sword and Shield edition. It looks awesome. I might buy that one.
Are they? Damn. I don't want
to. You have to buy the game separately.
Yeah, okay, what? I kind of figured that.
Yeah, but it's the that is an awesome looking Switch Lite.
So it cannot dock to a TV through USB or HDMI. So it's a handheld.
Mm-hmm. It is a true handheld.
Permanent Joy-Cons. I like the D-pad. I wonder if they are getting rid of...
He likes the D.
Shut up.
You bastards!
Now... My main question is, I don't see any screenshots or any pictures of Pokemon Sword and Shield here. I'll have to look at it after the show. I believe you, John. Is that going to be its own... They can play Switch games. I'm assuming the Switch Lite can play Switch games.
Yep.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Because with the Switch Edition, it's like... Is that really? No. Okay. So that's going to do it for... Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that, Rytho?
Only other thing is they're not doing a Switch XL this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because of the Switch Lite. That's about it. We've got a link to the pre-order guide if you guys are interested in that in the show notes. It is the second link from the last underneath Switch Lite.
All right.
Alrighty.
Thank you very much, Rytho. So, and that would be it for our top five gaming news stories. We're going to take a bit of a stretch here since we're 30 minutes in. Ah, big stretch. Noobshelter.com/donate. We work on what's called a value for value model. If you get any value from this show, if something piques your interest and we are responsible for that interest being piqued, it would be nice if you could reward us a little bit or say thank you. you know, throw us a buck, throw us $2, throw us a quarter if you want. I don't care. Anything will help. Anything above a $10 donation, though, will be automatically made an executive producer of the show for the time being while we're trying to gain traction here and get people to listen. So you can go over to noobshelter.com/donate.
We just need cash. I know a lot of people want to send blankets or water. Just send your cash.
Yeah, we'll take cash, or we'll take show artwork, promotional materials, voiceovers, music, sound clips, show notes, archiving, effects. We love them all. Please consider helping us out by sending everything that's not money to show@noobshelter.com. We'll give you a credit on the show, make you a producer, post your artwork on our website, give you all the props in the world. If you need to use us for your resume, for doing sound effects and whatnot, we got your back. I'll hook you up. Tell me who to contact. I'll make it so. Please also include your intent on allowing our fair use of said materials if you're going to donate said materials. Again, that email show@noobshelter.com, noobshelter.com/donate. Please give us a hand. Help us out. If you get value, show it back. So, moving on to what I like to call the douchebag segment.
Douchebag!
We'll get that button ready.
Oh, man. So, G2A.
Ah, that place.
I've heard of these people before.
Oh, man.
I've heard horror stories of these people. I didn't really think they were still around until recently. When an article popped up where G2A was making offers to pay journalists to run pre-written articles defending them. So what is G2A first and foremost? From my knowledge and understanding of them, they are a third-party market for game keys.
Yep.
So if I have a key to Rocket League that I don't want to use, I can link up with G2A and resell that key on the marketplace, on their marketplace.
Yep.
That's pretty much what they do, but they're shady in their practices. Because, see, I can list a key, a stolen key. Let's say, okay, here's a good example, because something like this happened to me a couple years ago. I want to say it was about 2007. Around the time that I got my student loan deposited into my account, I had my PayPal account linked into my bank account because I was doing some eBay stuff for people and I was getting a cut. I was getting like a 20-30% cut for anything I sold on eBay. Recently, I'd sold a Burberry jacket and I got $400 for that jacket, and I got 20% of that cut. So it was a good time when I was getting into eBay. This is before eBay started jacking up everything and using shady practices themselves. Anyway, so my PayPal account was hacked and they got into my bank account through my PayPal account. And one of the things I noticed, they bought 3 Ultimate Steam packages at $100 a pop. 3. Ouch. You guys remember that? The big old Steam package? You pay $100 mm-hmm. and you get like everything Valve has ever made, right? They bought 3 of those. Now, let's say we're in the now and that happened. That person who bought 3 of those could go onto G2A, resell those keys without any problems from G2A. No background checks, no anything like that. And then let's say little Jimmy Schmidt. Okay, nice 12-year-old kid, got $10 from his mom on his little reusable debit card. He goes on the G2A. He sees Half-Life 2 there for $5. He buys the game, and he buys Portal for $5. He spent his $10. Little Jimmy Schmidt just spent his $10, okay? Now, and he bought those keys that were stolen from the Jamoke that got into said account and bought 3 freaking Steam packs. I go to report this to the bank. They reverse those charges, send it to Valve. Valve's like, oh, no, we not deal with that shit, mother. So they reverse the charge on that. Those Steam keys are retrieved, and poor little Jimmy Schmidt, he no longer can play his games because his keys got stripped. And what does G2A do? Nothing. It's all a scam. That, in a nutshell, is G2A. That is why me and my co-hosts here do not like nor support G2A. G2A can sit on my middle finger and rotate like the sons of bitches that they are. Fuck G2A up the ass. Anyways, rant over.
Okay, first off,
tell us how you really feel.
G2A is a freaking market that's just getting exploited, okay?
Yeah, I know. Yep. But they're not doing all shit about it.
Well, all they can do is cover their own goddamn ass. Okay? Until recently, I'm pretty damn sure the technology hasn't been around for them to actually implement any policies to protect people purchasing keys on their marketplace.
No, but when you have someone that's that basically has 100 of the same key for sale for $5-$10 or something like that.
That would be a little fishy.
Exactly. That should automatically flag.
Yeah, and that's just it.
They're not doing that either.
Yeah.
They don't care. They just want the money.
That's it. That's all G2A is about, is the money, the money, the money.
Which is why they were paying journalists to run their own handwritten ads saying that it was written by the journalist.
Right. So somebody tried to contact one of our news sources, Kotaku. And I love these guys for calling this shit out. Someone tried to from the company tried to take control of the narrative surrounding its shady public image by sending out a transparent and unbiased pre-written article about stolen game keys and asking sites to publish it without being marked as sponsored or marketed or associated with G2A. Yeah. A representative for the marketplace then blamed this move on an employee without authorization, calling it unacceptable. So somebody over there is just like, so let's see here. The email in question, which Kotaku, this is where I got the article from, has viewed, was sent to multiple members of the media, including them, and included one who posted a screenshot of it on Twitter earlier on the 8th, sparking widespread discussion and anger. The email asked the press to cooperate with G2A in the name of improving our brand and awareness and public image, especially among the indie and smaller game developers. G2A is so bad that BBC News released an article saying that independent game developers are requesting that people just pirate their damn games instead of buying them from G2A.
Right.
So, let's see here. Several have said it would be even better if consumers pirated their game rather than purchase discounted unlock codes from the key resellers. One label is running a petition calling on the biggest such market, G2A, to halt sales of indie games outright. But, of course, G2A has defended its business model. It said the indies benefit from this policy of sharing a cut of sales made by third parties. Hundreds of developers earn money from selling their keys through marketplaces such as G2A. Head of communications, Message Cook, told BBC News. We don't plan on taking anything or taking away that possibility anytime soon. It will be better. It will be harmful not to only our customers, but also to the many developers who use our platform to their benefit. Okay, so here's the thing. If a lot of game developers and game companies are protesting your platform's not really helping them.
Yep.
No, it's not. So, but yeah, John, I know you were looking into this. Do you have anything to add on top of this?
They're not even selling a lot of the time. They're not even actually selling the keys. They're these funky Steam friend gift code things. I don't even know exactly, but they basically have a bot that you friend, as it were, and it gives you the key in that way.
Yeah, I heard about that too. Yeah.
That's not sketchy as all hell.
Exactly.
And just to set a little bit of a record straight. I actually got a little bit confused between G2A and GOG. I thought GOG was also
GOG. Oh, no. Not GOG. GOG is good. GOG is God.
Yeah, no, yeah. GOG is awesome.
I have
no.
experience with GOG.
Yeah.
GOG is good.
No, awesome. No, just G2A. These guys are despicable.
Douchebag!
There, I said it for you. So that's the G2 assholes there. More on that as that develops. I'm sure there's been a lot of G2A news popping out within the last week. So I'll keep chugging along. That'll be my beat. Other things going on in the gaming world. So Nintendo Switch Online, people, if you have a Nintendo Switch, if you have Nintendo Switch Online, you no doubt know about the NES games that you can play for free. Well, you pay for the $20 a year subscription, but you have access to all these Nintendo games. Nintendo is adding a rewind feature. So Donkey Kong 3 and Wrecking Crew, yes, are coming to Nintendo Switch Online on July 17th. But this month's update to the service just doesn't add the new games. It's also going to add a new rewind feature debuting on the same day. This function is going to allow players to rewind and retry a section of gameplay similar to the capability of the SNES Classic Edition, though SNES games are not available on the Switch yet. So I've used the rewind feature on the SNES Classic, and it works pretty well. And if they're adding that to the Switch, to the NES Switch games, I'm down. So,
huh.
Good time to be a Switch owner. I'm not, I wasn't applauding, just so you know, Donkey Kong 3. I was applauding Wrecking Crew because I love Wrecking Crew. Wrecking Crew is such a fun game. Really good game. So moving forward, I'll make this one quick. As you all know, in a previous episode, I talked about Dr. Mario World coming to iOS and Android. It dropped a day early, and I've been playing it. And here's my take. So, Dr. Mario World is like Mario, Dr. Mario, with a few different mechanics. First of all, the capsules don't flow down, as in a traditional Dr. Mario game. They go up. You start from the bottom of the screen and you move the drag the capsule from your little capsule pod onto the main play field, and then it starts flowing upwards. Now, one thing you can do that you couldn't do in Dr. Mario, I think you could do something similar to this on the Wii U version of Dr. Luigi, which I also played and loved, is you can drag the capsule with your finger over obstacles, over viruses, so you can get it into a nice little nook where it will fit. So it makes the gameplay, it changes the gameplay slightly. I like it. I think it's pretty cool. So there is a single player mode where your objective is, of course, to venture through the various levels and clear out all the viruses. The difficulty increases as you do go through the game. So there's three types of gameplay that I noticed. There's clearing viruses, which is whatever. Finding purple coins, in which your main goal is not to kill the viruses, but to hit all the blocks and find all the purple coins hiding in the blocks. And you do that by blowing up capsules, by matching capsules. And then time limits, where you have to clear the level in a specific amount of time, be that either find coins or kill viruses. And then there's also a PvP type called versus, in which case you have to jump in and you play against other people. Now, when you play against other people, you have a chance to unlock special characters that can help you play through the game, either on versus or on single player. Versus is a pain in the ass. And for anyone who's going to play Dr. Mario, I'm going to make everyone's lives miserable right now. Two things to take note. One, if you're playing against an Asian, you're going to have a bad time. Those guys do not mess around. Anytime I played with somebody with the Kanchi characters in their name, I have lost hard. Any other Jamoke, I'll take on. But Asians, Japanese, Chinese, whatever, I get my ass handed to me. Two, as you start the game, as you go through tutorial, you have the opportunity to change out Dr. Mario for Dr. Peach, Dr. Luigi, Dr. Bowser. I highly recommend you get Dr. Bowser, because my ass has been handed to me more times with people playing as Dr. Bowser than I've been able to beat. So Dr. Bowser is apparently OP. Grab him while you can and barrel your way through. So a couple of playable characters that you can play as will be Mario, Luigi, Peach, Bowser, Yoshi, Toad, Toadette, Bowser Jr., and two of the original Koopa kids, Ludwig von Koopa and Wendy Koopa.
Nice.
You can start playing as Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Bowser at the beginning after the tutorial, after which you're stuck with them through the whole game until you unlock the next character. How do you unlock characters? Well, you can spend diamonds, which cost an arm and a leg. You can buy a 75-pack of diamonds for $5 or over 1,000 pack of diamonds for $70. No.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
Of course you can.
Of course you can.
This is a bunch of scumbags.
So.
For now.
And then.
That will pass.
That will pass, I'm sure. You can also get coins when you complete levels, go through the board. You get coins for doing certain things, and those stack up pretty fast, and you can use coins to roll either new doctors or new assistants. Now, the assistants, they have different features. Like I mentioned earlier, you can attach up to two assistants to one doctor, and they'll help you in either single-player mode or versus mode or both. Like, they'll help extend time, or they'll slow capsule speed, or they'll fill up your power meter. You get a power meter after you clear so many viruses or collect so many coins that when you push on it, it does something special. Mario clears out a line. Luigi clears out an L shape. I don't know about everybody else.
Mario clears out lines. Yeah. That's appropriate.
But yeah, so, I mean, in short, it's a good game. It's a bit of a learning curve if you're used to regular Dr. Mario games, but yeah, pick it up. I mean, I wouldn't spend a dime on it, but that's just me. I don't spend money on games, so have at it. So
have at it.
So moving on to get close to the end here, talking about digital capitalism for a second here, an eBay sale might have you rooting for Amazon to crash during Prime Day.
That looks interesting.
So eBay is holding a sale to compete with Amazon's Prime Day, and it's not really being shy about the comparison. The eBay crash sale is going to take place on the 15th of July, and deals will get even better if Amazon.com happens to crash during its big sale date.
Get off the stage, you drunk!
Wrong button. Oh, well.
Wow.
You little fuckers.
eBay states plainly that the sale is named after Amazon's tech troubles last year, and that additional deals will activate if the competition crashes.
I mean,
let's go, eBay!
Great marketing ploy.
That's great, for sure. But I'm wondering what that's gonna do. Is that gonna get somebody to like a whole bunch of like Anons to like hop on and like try to take down Amazon?
Maybe.
Just so they can get 20% off sneakers.
Yeah, that's definitely provoking it.
That is. I'm pretty sure that is.
Honestly,
I find it funny. So a little bit of movie sewage for you guys. You've all heard about Detective Pikachu by now. I've seen the movie. I'm hyped. I loved it. It's great. It is the second highest grossing video game movie of all time.
Yeah.
And it's getting close to the top spot. So Detective Pikachu has racked up enough box office money to make it the second highest earning game movie of all time. According to a tracker, Box Office Mojo, the last few days, this is by on July 10th, 2 days ago, the last few days saw the Pokemon spinoff adaptation hit 429 million in worldwide box office takings, pushing it past a lesser thought of but wildly successful video game movie, 2018's Rampage. I didn't think Rampage. Yeah, Rampage topped that at 428 million in box office takings.
Yep.
It wasn't a bad movie. It was weird, but I liked it. I enjoyed it. Big giant monsters fighting.
Right.
That fugitive loves big giant monsters fighting, you know? So
of course he does.
Of course I do. I like Godzilla.
Battle.
Yeah, Gojira. Anyway, so yeah, there's that. That's pretty cool. So the comparing some other numbers here. Let's see. Warcraft ended with a worldwide ranking of 433 million. I'm surprised they're not going to be making a sequel to that, because that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider topped out at 274 million. Assassin's Creed managed 240 million. Pokemon, the first movie, the animated one, grossed 163 million. That would be 251 million adjusted for inflation, because that was back in the 90s. 1995's Mortal Kombat, 122 million adjusted for inflation, 205 million. So yeah, that is a pretty big deal. We're definitely getting a Pokemon or Detective Pikachu movie. That's definitely coming.
Yep.
So
another one.
Yep. So let's go ahead and get ready to do this. I want to get on with some. Where's the thing?
Make sure you get it right.
I didn't get it. It's not here. There it
is.
Oh,
no.
Quick shots! So some guy bought a Pokemon card for $60,000 and it got lost in the mail. This is back in August 2018. I don't know why this popped up on my recent news feed. Someone on eBay paid.
Oh,
here we go. Someone on eBay paid $60,000 for a very rare Pokemon card. It's now a year later. The card still hasn't arrived, and nobody knows where it's got to. YouTuber and Pokemon card collector. It's always a YouTuber. SMPerate has the story, as he claims, to know both the buyer and the seller personally. What appears to have happened, SMPerate says, is that having sold the card for $60,000 last year to someone outside the U.S., the seller posted it domestically, after which the card was forwarded to a global shipping program center in New York City. The card was signed for, valued at $50,000 for insurance purposes, the highest figure possible, and was supposed to then be sent on its way. However, that's where the card's journey ends, as no further tracking was ever noted or available, and no trace of it has ever turned up since.
Got stolen.
The card in question is Trainer Number 3, one of the rarest in existence, which was given out to third-place finishers at a secret super battle in Japan in 1999.
Damn.
Wow. The super buyer is secret. Now offering a $1,000 reward for information that can help track down the card's whereabouts.
Man, wow. That sucks.
Another quick shot. Persona 5. People know the game. People love the game. It's being turned into a stage play.
Yeah.
Persona 5 is being made into a stage play called Persona 5 The Stage. Well, wow, that's a clever name. Anyways, it's going to run this December.
I love John's reaction. Hey, maybe.
It's going to run this December in Tokyo and Osaka with actor Hiroki Ino starring. The cast will be announced at a later date. Yay.
Yay.
Then the last quick shot. So, enormous flight simulator was installed in a Tokyo hotel.
Sure.
Woohoo! Yeah. Haneda XL Hotel Toiku, which is Tokyo, which is connected to Terminal 2 of the Haneda International Airport in Tokyo, will offer a room outfitted with a full-size flight simulator. Fittingly, it's called the Superior Cockpit Room.
Nice. Oh, it's just screens.
The cockpit is based on a Boeing 737-800. The hotel offers a couple of different plans. For example, you can book an afternoon, which is a 90-minute block, with an instructor for about $275 American and experience flying from Haneda to Osaka International Airport. The double room is also available for about $232 a night, sans instructor. at the Haneda Excel Hotel. You can apparently see the runway from the room. So even if you don't book the flight sim, you can still enjoy plane spotting.
So they specifically had to mention without the instructor. How much extra do you think they have to pay if you want the instructor to stay?
Oh, the night?
You know someone's going to ask this question.
The night? To stay the night?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. I don't know. That's a good
I'm
question.
I'm not condoning any of this, but you know someone will ask.
I agree. And someone's going to ask. I'm thinking it's probably going to be... Mike, you take a guess first. I'm calculating in my brain hole.
What am I calculating?
The meaning of life. Dude, how much do you think? Never mind. I'm going to say $400. $400.
For what?
He wasn't even listening to the damn story.
Get off the stage, you drunk bastard!
You just started freaking belting out numbers.
John,
I'm like, what are you talking about?
John asked a question. For the room, the hotel room, that you can book 90 minutes with an instructor is $275. That's only 90-minute block, though, with an instructor. A room without the instructor is for a night is $232. John's question is, how much do you think, because we know someone's going to ask this question, it would be to have the instructor stay the whole night?
That just sounds dirty.
it wasn't as well.
Okay, well it just depends.
It was,
on,
but it wasn't as dirty with the way I delivered it.
Yeah, I understand that. It just depends on what they value is or what they the number of hours they put on a night. Okay, so it's 232 for a night. It could be anywhere from 9 to 12 hours.
Way to take the diplomatic approach there, Mike.
Yeah, Mike. I just threw a number out. I was like, $400. He's getting all diplomatic. And,
you're charging $275 for a 90-minute block, you're probably looking at it's $3,000 or $4,000.
Wow.
For a night.
Okay, that's more realistic. I have to go. I have to go with Mike on that. That number does sound more realistic.
Especially if it's a licensed flight instructor.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I think that wraps it up for tonight, gentlemen and ladies. I want to thank John Freebird.
Goodbye.
The Freebird himself for joining us and coming back. I'm glad you didn't get eaten by any Wolverines.
No.
And of course, Fade to Black, our technical who's-its of everything. Thank you for joining us again, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
And we'll see you all again next week. Same bat time. Same bat channel.
Hey, I'm Batman too.
From all of us here at the Noob Shelter, thank you for listening. Enjoy your night, day, afternoon, evening, breakfast. We'll see you next week. Take it easy, folks.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Betty White one in a tabby too, and a big orange guy put snakes in my shoe. Mad MC skills leave me struck, and I roll with my kitties and my herd is fuck. I'm down with Plato and Socrates, and I like to get busy with all the ladies. Rolling back, something. Down enough of my shit, out of my shit.